Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 312. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplanson. How are you?
Oh, there you go. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplanson at Cap in America on all social media platforms. Cap in NYC, if you want to get some real estate in New York City. He's got the market cornered, everybody. On the podcast today, we're talking to Isaac Jansson, our friend in Sweden, about their membership. Sweden's been trying to join NATO for like a year, or it feels like at least a year. And something's going wrong. I think it has to do with Turkey. We will get all into that in a minute. But before that, Kaplan, patreon.com/lostinamerica. So let's just say a couple things off the top. The month of, what was last month? September. The month of September 2023 was our biggest month in podcast history for Lost in America podcast downloads, listeners.
No.
Congrats. All podcasts on planet Earth.
We the number one podcast ever. Screw you, Joe Rogan, and everyone else, Mark Maron, everyone. Number one.
Yeah.
Congrats to us.
Number one. But don't look that up. But what you can Google is for sure we are the number one in our own show's history. So this is our biggest month ever. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for telling your friends. Thank you. Share it on social media. Thank you for doing all of that. So keep the momentum going. We're gonna break that record in October in this month, starting today. But the way to support us, all you new listeners, obviously listen, rate, subscribe, all that, but also go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. For $5 a month, you get Kaplan and I doing a bonus show 1 to 2 times a week, where a full throttle comedy podcast. It's just me and Cap talking about our lives in New York City, me on tour around the United States of America doing comedy, Hollywood, insider stories, green room stories,
rubbing elbows with all the bigwigs.
It's also Kaplan, taking his kids to school or whatever he does.
I'm about to be a disruptor. I'm about to run for a local election and cause chaos. So that you're gonna get the whole story on the Patreon show.
Are you finally running for city council?
No, I'm running for something called SLT, which is a school leadership team. I don't know what they do. I have to look it up before the election, which is next week, but I'm gonna be like one of those, you know, those like Moms for Liberty who are like going around the country causing problem at school boards in America. I'm gonna be like that for New York City.
I don't know Moms for Liberty, but it sounds very racist.
I'm not gonna be racist. I'm gonna be the non-racist version. I don't think they're racist, but anyway, I'm just gonna run
anytime.
Liberty. You're gonna say the word liberty. You're gonna say anytime someone uses the word liberty, right? It's a bad omen.
Liberty, Sons of Liberty, the original, we are the freedom people. It gets a little dicey.
Well, I'm not in your party.
Is this something people can vote on?
People in the New York. Yes. If you live in Long Island City, very local. This is a local plug, but yes, I'm going to be running. It's going to be an election. It's going to be on Zoom. So I will send it out. Maybe some of our patrons can crash the Zoom and can vote for me. So yeah. Anyway,
your debate is going to be on Zoom.
Yes. We'll send out the link.
Patreon.com/lostinamerica, folks, to get all of that. All of that. Now, Cap, let's get to today's episode. So I was researching this and they say Sweden wants to join NATO. And I said, why isn't Sweden already in NATO? That seems odd to me. I Googled it. Basically, every other country around Europe, I guess Finland just recently joined, but every other country, they're surrounded by NATO members. And I did one more Google and it said Sweden's a neutral country historically. Yes. And I went, oh, that makes sense. But I don't understand why. What do you know, Cap?
Yeah, that's what they've always been famous for. Like IKEA, meatballs, hot women. But the neutrality, that's their big thing. They're like calling card. We are neutral. Like they couldn't. The entire Cold War went on and they didn't pick a side. Apparently, they were just kind of like hanging out in Europe. Like, we don't want to get hit. Let the nukes fly over us. So that's
what it was kind of like me in elementary school. You know, yeah. Like everybody, the bullies are all fighting each other. I go, listen, I'm going to be cool with everybody here.
That's a smart move. You stay on the sidelines when someone's fighting for something and they fumble it, you pick it up. But yeah, so that was Sweden's thing. I didn't realize, though, like you, that was still going on. Like I thought at some point, I just thought like the Cold War ended and they just like joined NATO. I could have sworn, but apparently no. So,
well, I think you're wrong here, but I'm going to bring it to our guest. Yeah. To decide, I think the neutrality ended in like 95, I read. So Anyway, let's bring in our guest, Isaac Jansen, everybody. Isaac, follow him on Instagram at Isaac Jansen. He has a tour going on. J-A-N-S-S-O-N is how you spell his last name. And he has a tour going on right now. I see he's doing theaters. They're selling out. I was looking at his social media. So very exciting. It's great to have him back. And before we bring him on, last thing we should say, we have to credit Isaac for our entire podcast.
The entire genesis.
We used to do this other show. It was called Lost in America, but it was much more boring. We didn't know what we were doing. Boring. We didn't know what we were talking about. We had Isaac on to talk about Sweden's COVID policy in the middle of the COVID thing. Sweden was like, hey, hands off. We're just going to let free range, do whatever you want. We're going to let COVID burn through us. We talked to him all about it. Everyone loved the episode. And everyone's like, that's the format for your show. Have comedians from around the world on to tell you about what's going on in their local, in their country. And here we are. We doubled our audience. We just had our biggest month ever last month. So, Isaac, thank you for all of that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to see you guys live. I mean, the last time we spoke was in the middle of COVID. And you're still here. That's nice to say. I had no idea.
Alive.
I had no idea. Yes. I had counted you guys out. I'm like, they're goners. They're not going to make it. But now you're sitting here and you're alive. And I'm very happy for that. I'm very happy that the episode boosted the podcast. I have no idea how or what I contribute with, but...
Are you going to sue us for a co-creator credit?
Yeah.
Since we did just acknowledge.
Yeah. It's going to be a bill coming by boat slowly over the Atlantic. Fun.
We made it through.
Yeah, we made it through. And so now we're here. It's kind of like, it's weird. I was thinking about that today. COVID, it's kind of like high school in the sense that everyone is embarrassed about what they did in high school. So but everyone kind of is like, so it's like everyone knows they did some shit in high school. Mm. And that's kind of every country's. So now we just don't talk about high school. That's kind of every country's because even Sweden that kind of had a good tactic in our minds, we still kind of fucked it up and lots of things didn't go that well. So now we're just kind of like, oh, that didn't happen. Let's just be quiet. Let's just remember the nice pictures we have from the school book, the yearbook, and let's just look at that and forget about all the other. We don't have to go into the details the prom and the drinking and stuff of high school.
There was so much terrible. I don't know if you've had someone tag you on social media. Like every once in a while, someone who I went to high school with will go, like they'll digitize their old photographs from high school. And then just tag everybody or middle school or something and tag everybody who's in the picture. And this guy I barely knew tagged me in a picture like 6 months ago of when I was 12 in junior high school. And me and this girl who I kind of still know. I mean, everyone who grew up sort of knows each other. And it's me and her on the playground just screaming at each other. And I'm like, why do I want to be a part of this? And then the people are commenting. They're like, whoa, that guy needs to relax. I'm like, I was 12 years old. It was 1994.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. We need to forget about everything. Yeah.
And can I just bring it to tie things together? I was just telling you, in high school, I couldn't get any girls to talk to me. Right. But I actually was set up on a date with a beautiful Swedish girl.
Wow.
Because we had an au pair from Sweden in my family, the Kaplans. And the girl set me up with a Swedish friend of hers. And she was great. Gorgeous girl. I took her to see the movie Pulp Fiction and she hated it. And I decide I can't go out with this girl ever again. Like, I was like so upset that someone wouldn't like the movie Pulp Fiction, who wasn't even from America. So that's the type of losers we are in high school. We don't understand logic. We don't understand. That's a great analogy. COVID, we made all sorts of, we had very strong opinions about things and we were all over. Yeah. Everybody has things to regret. I like
so,
it.
So I think that's how we see of COVID now. It's just something we don't even talk about it. It never even happened.
Yeah, but never happened.
Yeah.
Exactly. So everything's back to normal.
So now we're here. And you know, with NATO is, because Sweden is, you know, neutral. We're neutral. We've always been, you know,
quotes.
In air quotes, neutral. We've, you know, during the Second World War, we kind of took part. We were kind of on the German side in a weird way. Like we, there's lots of like, you know, these
good people on both sides. Both sides.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we sold like iron to the Germans, and we let them like have the trains. I think when they took over Norway, they went through Sweden and stuff like that. There's all these kind of dodgy facts that like. Contradict the whole idea of our neutrality. And then in later years, I mean, for example, there's been Swedish troops in, you know, Mali and in Bosnia and different in different war zones where they've taken part as, you know, peacekeeping troops, but it's still kind of, you know, troops actually in a war zone. So it's kind of like, isn't that kind of against the neutrality thing? And also we sell weapons, which is the second thing that is kind of a bit contradictory. I think we're like one of the like the biggest arms manufacturers in like in comparison to our work per capita or something.
Oh, congrats.
Really?
Yeah. So
IKEA should sell guns.
Oh my God. That would solve the gun problem because they wouldn't work. They'd be, no one could put them together.
You have to put them together.
If you
want yourself.
A gun, you have to put it together should be how we solve the gun problem in this country. Yeah.
And it's only IKEA instructions. There's no words. It's just like pictures.
With that little like, what do you call those wrenches that come? Those mini ones that you do?
Yeah, that key, that like drum that key.
Yeah, you have to put all guns together with one of those things. Forget about it.
You get it. You get like a screw extra with your Glock and you're like, what, this should be in the gun. Damn it. Like,
yeah. There's a whole industry of guys you pay like $50 online and they'll come over and assemble your gun.
Put my gun together.
Yeah, the test rabbit. Yeah.
Yeah. So we
yeah, so I read go ahead, Isaac.
No, so the whole neutrality thing is very like people are I think most Swedish people see it as more kind of like a symbol thing, like we're it's not real. It's very much like something we've always said, and it's kind
like
of a way
above
to
above war. It's kind of like a
I don't know really what it is. And I think that's the reason why we've never joined NATO and we've never really had to. But it's always been this kind of feeling of like this unspoken thing about, oh, if ever something were to happen, like if like Russia were to attack Sweden, the US and of course the West would save us. You know, like. Between the lines, like it's fine. We don't have to join NATO because we're kind of we're on NATO's side in a way like that.
Yeah.
But then now when Russia attacked Ukraine, we're like, oh, maybe we have to have that on paper,
just in case.
Yeah. So that's kind of what happened.
I would have assumed we would have jumped it. If you'd asked me 5 years ago. I would have thought, yeah, we'll jump in and we'll send troops to Ukraine and everything. But it turns out if it's not on paper, like who? Yeah, you're right. Who knows if it's actually going to happen? So it was World War. I did a bit of research, and it looks like since World War One, sorry, since the 1800s,
earlier than that, the Napoleonic Wars,
and it was the Napoleonic Wars is what sparked the neutrality. And my vague understanding of the Napoleonic Wars was Sweden went to war because of the king. The king of Sweden was like, we're going to take over Finland. And then it backfired and Finland took a third of Swedish land. And then the king got kicked out and everyone's like, all right, no more of that. And it lasted for 200 years. Is that correct?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know really. All I know is that like Sweden waged war like ridiculous amounts of time before that. Like we were like that, you know, the Chihuahua dog that's like attacking Doberman. of Europe, and we were actually like a military superpower. That's what every Swedish person, every nationalist Swedish person is very proud of, our, you know, our heritage of being basically a warmongering shit country, attacking
the Vikings.
Yeah, yeah. Just we were a horrible nation, really. I mean, and the kings were absolutely horrible people. I mean, like I read recently a book about Carl the 12th, who was he's one of those symbols that like, especially like right-wing nationalists, they're like, oh, Carl the 12th, he's like a strong king and he took over lots of land. He was a tyrant of the worst type, and he killed people, his own people, and he, you know, he had terrible ideas. Anyway, but so we did that a long time, and then I think it was kind of more like we kind of realized that, oh, we are a small country. We're probably always going to be a small country. So I guess it was more like I don't know. I kind of feel like it was also like a tactical, like we couldn't keep just waging war the way we had before. So I don't know. But maybe it was also that we lost to the Finns. I can't remember that we did that.
From a pragmatic standpoint, it was smart World War II to not, you know, to be neutral.
It was called, just to jump in, it was, so they called it like the Treaty of 1812, something of 1812.
Yeah.
And that was the end of the Napoleonic War, when the new people came in. It was probably all of it. They were like, we got to stop waging war, and this is probably good.
Yeah.
Has it? So what's the military presence within the country? Do you have a small military?
I'm not allowed to say that because people are listening outside. I don't know.
Well, let me.
That's like.
Did you join? Is it like mandatory military when you're in high school or something, or 19 or something like that?
No, it used to be, but then the thing is that like Sweden has been like, what do you say? They've been cutting down the military for
demilitarized.
Yeah, for a long time. Like, basically, since the Cold War, we've been like, it's just been getting smaller and smaller, and just more and more like on the verge of like us kind of going, like, do we really need a military? And then now, like these last couple of years, we're like, oh,
and
fuck.
Putin's like, yes, you do.
Yeah,
you might want one.
Might be good to have some people along the border with a gun, maybe. so we've actually built up like the army again, and it's this kind of debate. Like a lot of people will say that like Sweden has a strong army in like a technical perspective, like we have good technology and because of the military industry that we have in the country, that we can make very good planes and radars and stuff like that. But I have no idea. I can't really say. I hope we have a good army. I hope we have a good enough one.
Do you know? Anyone has ever been in the army? Or?
I've actually been, you know, I've been a armed forces like a entertainer. So I've done like like comedy for Swedish troops and stuff. And from what I've from those missions that I've done, I haven't done that many, but I think it looks pretty well. I was in a UN a camp down in Mali and performed for Swedish troops, and When I looked, I think it looked like we had a pretty good camp. We had some good stuff. It was good food, nice air conditioning.
Like, good food.
S'mores. Yeah, they had
air conditioning,
PlayStation, and a pool table. It was nice. We did some comedy. And
the Russian troops do not have PlayStation and air conditioning. So,
no. So yeah. So from that comparison, I think it felt like we had some good stuff. We got to look at some of the other camps. I won't point any fingers or say what nationalities we saw, but I think the Swedish one was amongst the top.
Easy,
yeah.
Easy. That's an attack, Gavlin. I have heard. I've never done the troop stuff for the American troops, but I have heard it's like pretty rough. They say, also they say comedy wise, it's fun because the troops are just like literally anything. They're excited. Yeah.
They're not they're the opposite of a college crowd in America. You're not going to get the troops.
They're not trying to cancel.
Yeah. It was actually fun because when I got there to the camp in Mali, I started talking to some people that were there, and like they came up and they're like, oh, you do that podcast and stuff. And it was like all they do down there.
Lost in America?
No, the Swedish. Oh yeah, yeah, yours. Oh. Yeah, they listen to yours. but
so Mali.
So the basically like the troops, they have nothing to do down there, so they were like listening to podcasts and stuff. So they were really a great crowd because they were like new comedy. It was really nice. Actually, I had a great gig down there. So anyway,
but do they have podcasts in Mali?
Yeah,
I just to go with this, do they have a like? Because I heard from the American troops, a lot of the times you're not on a stage. You're just in the cafeteria standing on a table and there's no lights and sometimes there's no mic and you're literally, it's just like real rugged, but it's still fun shows. But yeah. Did they have like a whole setup for you?
Yeah, it was kind of like they had some of those, like they just built up with whatever they had kind of, it was not,
yeah, that's cool.
It was no, smoke machine and pyrotechnician. What's a pyro?
It was not a Kiss concert.
Yeah. It's not Yngwie Malmsteen. It was very, but it was fun. So,
what were they doing in Mali? They have a neutral military.
Well, they left Mali quite recently, but they were there with the peacekeeping, the UN peacekeeping mission down there,
fighting the Wagner Group, or.
Yeah, they were down there. I don't know, but it was mostly like you know, it's a civil war down there, so they were kind of keeping the peace. So, yeah.
So, does the culture of neutrality, like, has the government sold it for, I guess, hundreds of years or however long it's been around, as this is like it makes us wealthier or something? Because America, a big like people who are anti-military in the United States, the big argument is that we're wasting all our money on the military.
Yeah. Money that could go to
schools. We have poor people in our country. So then therefore the opposite of that would be, we're not wasting money on the military, so we have all of our facilities are good. I feel like all we hear about Sweden is like everything's great in terms of, is that the case? Do you have a ton of extra money to spend on all this, like just regular stuff?
I don't know. I can't. It's not like, you know, they're like, oh, look at this festival was built from all the bullets we sold. I've never had that happen. So.
Oh yeah, you still sell. Yeah. You guys are really like a drug dealer who doesn't do drugs.
Who doesn't get high in their own supply. Yeah. They're smart.
We will sell it, but yeah. Tim Craig commandments.
I think that the feeling in Sweden for many, many years has been like, we don't need a military because it's everything's, there's never been like a threat. Like Russia's been there, and you know, Russia, they've been driving in like submarines into like Swedish water and flying airplanes and stuff. But it's mostly been like, well, you know, Russians are Russians. What can you do? And then like just a couple of years back, we're like, oh, we might have to actually build the army. So I think that's a really recent thing. I remember growing up, most of the old military facilities that were built up during like the way back during the Second World War and before that, they were usually remade into, for example, to office buildings and schools and stuff like that. And so there's all those military complexes were just changed. And now, we're kind of realizing, oh, it might be good to have those. So now they're actually kind of buying them back and remaking them into military facilities and stuff. So there is this kind of feeling that, okay, maybe we were a bit naive. At the same time, I mean, there was no real kind of threat the way there is today. So I guess it's still kind of reasonable, I guess.
And one thing is, when you join NATO, I believe you have to spend like, you agree to spend like 2% of your budget, your GDP, on military.
Yeah.
So when you're not in NATO, you don't you can, who knows? I don't know what Sweden's spending now, but it doesn't have to be. So that's one of the, like as recently as 2014, I read that only 28% of Swedes supported the idea of joining NATO. And now I think it's like 60%. Yeah. So. Clearly, is it all the Russian?
Yeah,
just the Russian invasion in action. Seeing that in action is like changed people's perspective.
I saw a fun meme. I don't know who made it, but it was just a picture of Putin and a text that said "NATO recruiter employee of the month" or something like that. Which I think is really that's the truth. I mean, we never thought about joining NATO until, you know, Putin attacked Ukraine, and we're like, oh fuck, what do we do? I mean, we're a much smaller country than Ukraine, and
what a miscalculation on the part of Putin. I mean, I guess I guess if you never attack, you never know, to take his side for a second here, you know?
So, you know, but, gotta shoot your shot, you know?
You gotta shoot your shot, as the kids say, right? But to have, like, the second you do shoot your shot, just everyone scrambling to join the other side.
Yeah, Finland, join NATO.
Yeah, Putin, he saw the musical Hamilton, and he thought, oh, that's what this musical is about.
My shots. Yeah. Not give a throw in my shot.
And then that's when they attacked. But it's
pretty bizarre.
But now, like, there's this weird thing, because I don't know if you've heard that we have this crime surge or crime.
I read that
wave.
You have a gang. There's like a gang wave.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know Sweden. I can't picture Swedish gang members. Like, it's hard. I know you said peaceful. I don't know. What is that contributing to this, or because it's.
Yeah, well, the weird thing is that there's this one like big major player in the whole kind of gang war, and he's in Turkey now, and because Turkey is kind of stopping the Swedish NATO joining NATO, so he's kind of become this kind of weird like person in between where Turkey's like we won't. What do you say? We won't give him to Sweden.
Return him.
Whereas everything he's doing down in Turkey is affecting people's lives here in Sweden, because kind of Turkey is their perspective is of course that you know we are kind of harboring Kurdish people that are engaged in the
Kurdish separatists, right?
Yeah, Kurdish separatists. Yeah. And so they're saying that we're like harboring, you know, terrorists and stuff like that. I think the Swedish viewpoint is that, oh, they're just, you know, refugees from Turkey. And so there's kind of this weird kind of political, diplomatic kind of weird game going on that is not only like affecting the fact that we're not joining NATO as quickly as we would have hoped. It's also kind of affecting like this gang war. It's really kind of a weird thing where like these
crazy.
It's a Game of Thrones kind of situation where you know one person's you know joins an alliance and it all kind of destroys the whole power structure, which is really what's going on now. It's really kind of fascinating.
Is the gang member Swedish or is he Turk? Is he?
No, he has connections to Turkey.
Oh, yeah.
So just to catch our audience up real quick, it's been a year. Sweden's been trying to join NATO for a year. And Turkey is a member of NATO. Somehow. Turkey, I guess, has the ability to block by voting no, has the ability to block Sweden from joining. So Turkey's decided they want Erdogan. They want all these concessions from Sweden. If to vote yes, and it's like return these Kurdish people who they consider to be criminal or they consider to be terrorists. Right. As you said, they're just kind of people who fled.
Turkey's always been very against Kurdistan is like the idea of a country for Kurd. Like they're always, that's like the number one, their terrorist threats, the Kurdish. So yeah
there's other ones though. I read where they want to, one of the people they want returned in quotes to Turkey as a criminal is a member of parliament, is a member of Swedish parliament, who she is just like publicly supports the Kurd movement.
Right. Sweden like, has freedom of speech, anything, right? I mean, you can't.
Hasn't done anything specifically. And they're like, we'll let you join if we can you give us this person, one of your members of parliament, so we can put her in prison, which is outlandish. But I didn't realize, I read about the gang warfare thing. I had no idea it was connected. So now if you're a criminal in Sweden, like this is the best time to be a criminal because you just escape, you commit all your crimes and escape to Turkey.
Yeah. So apparently, like
that's bizarre.
Like that sounds like a TV show idea.
So apparently, like a lot of the people kind of responsible for the violence in Sweden now, they're not even in the country, so they're just kind of sending. And that's like the weird, like the scary part as well. I mean that a lot of the. Because it's basically gun violence. It's shootings. Like it's like last year we broke like the record, all-time record for Swedish kills, and this year I think we're close to beating last year's record. And the scary part is that some of the people that have been shot, it turns out later that it's been the wrong person being shot, because the order to shoot someone is coming from outside, and so it's been given to someone that has no connection to the person that they're aiming at, and so they just see someone walking out from like an apartment building, and they're like, that's probably the guy, and they shoot, and then it turns out it's not the guy. So it's like, it's really scary actually. And then like the amount of
can't outsource.
I mean, Sweden is still, I think you still have to remember it's still a very peaceful country. I mean, I go out on the streets, I have no problem. I'm not afraid of my life, but it is very like right now it's a very like a big problem.
You told us there's a soccer star with the same name as you.
Yeah,
so if he gets in trouble with the gang members, and you got to be careful. These people mix you guys up.
Yeah,
you guys both. You got to stay clean. Also, I mean, it is true. I kind of understand it. Swedish people. I performed once for a Swedish Christmas party of all Swedish young professionals in Shanghai. They do look similar to each other.
They're all blonde.
So it is.
Yeah, that's
everyone's pretty that's attractive.
Racist. I think that's racist.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. No,
everyone's pretty just attractive.
To some guy in Turkey, yeah.
It's easier in America where we have clear lines between ugly people and hot people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they go shoot the ugly guy, you know, yeah. At least narrow it down. In Sweden, it's tough. So this gang leader has now escaped to Turkey, but he's still calling the shots in his gang from his protected life in Turkey.
Yeah, so it's just a weird weird situation. But I think there's this scary part. Like there's all this kind of now. There's this weird kind of political blame game where like the even the prime minister, he had like a speech to the nation for a couple of days ago where like a lot of people criticized him because he should have maybe tried to, you know, bring the nation together. Instead, he was like, oh, we saw this coming and no one did anything. And so everyone's like, well, you could have also said something way back because you were also in politics. And it's just this weird kind of, everyone's just like, no one really knows the solution. There's no real solution. So everyone's blaming each other. No one knows what the reason is really. There's, of course, all these theories. And if you ask someone that's very right wing or very kind of nationalistic or racist, they'll say it's an immigration problem, of course. But then if you look at the left side, they'll say it's a tax and social, you know, economical situation. It's kind of frustrating. Like no one knows what the problem is really. And everyone's just kind of trying to make themselves look good in the situation. So it's a lot of old people on social media like throwing out theories of how to solve everything very easily. I think that's
old people. Keep those old people on social media.
Yeah.
Almost every problem in the world goes back to old people on social media. It really does. They should not be allowed. There should be.
They say young people shouldn't be. They say teenagers shouldn't be allowed because it's bad for their, you know, like suicide
stuff.
Boomers, and teenagers are the two groups that should not be allowed on social media.
They should be. They should be presidents.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's young people. Young people shouldn't be allowed on because it's unsafe for them. Boomers shouldn't be allowed on because it's unsafe for the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like everyone has an aunt in America who's just a psycho on social media, on like Facebook specifically. They haven't gotten to all the other ones yet, but they're just firing off their crazy political opinions. And usually it ends in like, and these people got to go.
Yeah.
Whoever these people are.
Yeah. There's always these people.
But you know, one thing also, I think that has contributed to us joining NATO or wanting to join NATO is also, I think it's kind of because of Trump. Without kind of because Trump is very anti he is America first kind of what do you say, like he doesn't want to contribute. And so I think a lot of Swedish people also felt like when Putin, because also Trump and Putin are kind of rubbing shoulders, there was also I think a feeling in Sweden of like, can we really, the old idea of like, oh, the US will always help us if something happens. And then Trump comes along and we're like, maybe we can't really trust that America is going to come along. And so I think that also sparked a kind of the idea that we might actually need NATO or at least have it on paper.
I think Trump would want to help Sweden, though. Like he thinks of it as like a hot white country to him. So
Yeah.
I don't know.
His racism would.
I mean, it would have been, if he gets a fourth wife from there. Then
yeah,
yes,
exactly. You send him a wife.
That, yeah, we'll give him a.
But other than that,
a sacrifice. We'll just sacrifice one of our blondes.
Sacrifice a blonde.
Take a pick. Choose one.
He'll nuke whoever your enemy is then. So,
Mr. Trump, please. But take a pick.
But it is. I mean. The government shutdown, our government, the U.S. government almost shut down like 2 days ago. Part of it was on because there's a side of the Republicans. They're small, but they're influential, that still think we should not give any more money to Ukraine, that it should end right now. And it's a small faction of the Republican Party. But because the two sides are so close, if they just vote no, then it's like gridlocked, you know? So that is now an issue. And are there anyone on the left who thinks we shouldn't cap, or is it just the right at this point?
There is, but they don't. Yeah. I don't think there are people who think that way. The far left for sure. Who don't want
to. The politicians, there's a lot of that, the politicians do.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't affect. I don't think it affects the, as far as like invade, like helping out a country like Sweden. I don't think that would be a problem on the left of America, but. Trump for sure,
but Ukraine is. I mean, like, yeah,
Ukraine
I think
is.
Everyone's
yeah,
Ukraine's like, we'll
become very political
we'll
in a weird way.
It's this thing where they go, "We will give you 6 months.
Yeah,
we'll help you out for 6 months, but after that, you come yeah, on, I, you got to figure this
well,
out."
Well, I would say on the yeah, it's on like, the left, they're more into helping.
You can't
out.
Beat Putin in 6 months with a much smaller military. What are you doing, idiots?
But it's also on the left in America thing. To react to Trump, kind of like what you're saying. It's like. Because Trump's against it and those crazy Republicans, they're more for it. But
true.
Left to their own, I don't think. Yeah, a lot of Americans on both sides wouldn't want to. The forever wars idea.
Far ends, the fringes the ends, of the exactly. two sides. The middle is fine with it. Yeah, why do the. I had a question about the. So 62% of people, as Cab said, or something like that, do support NATO now. What's still the argument for not joining? Because I know you are part of the EU.
Yeah.
So. Does being part of the EU mean that if you were to be attacked, do the European Union countries have to defend you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's...
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know.
That's not how it works.
I don't know that. That's a good question. I know there's been a lot of talk about like that the EU should have like their own military, but I don't know if that's really happened.
Yeah, it's not happened yet. It's NATO.
So I don't know. I think maybe there's no feeling that there's a need because of NATO, because most European Union countries are in NATO. So I guess that would be kind of pie on pie, right. Or what do you would call it?
A hat on a hat? Yeah. Do you say that in comedy?
Kaka på kaka is what you say in the Swedish, which is cookie on a cookie. Anyway.
Is that your comedy term for that?
No, it's just the everyday expression. Kaka på kaka.
Just
okay.
That's like talking Sweden.
We have a comedy term. They say like when you're in a writer's room, they say hat on a hat, which means like you do a tag that's just kind of the same as the tag you just did.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same. Yeah, kaka på kaka. Yeah.
Okay, I was curious if they're the same thing. We got to take a break, guys. Okay. And then we'll get back with more in just a minute. I know Kaplan's got a lot left in the tank here. He's firing up questions. We are part of the world's smartest podcast network. That is us. That is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy and the Majoring in Everything podcast. That is Professor Andrew Heaton and the Political Orphanage podcast. I'm going to stay. Yay and I are going to stay with Heaton in Austin, Texas in a couple of weeks. So
wow, the most
maybe
hospitable
we'll do a live pod.
Podcaster. Yeah, you got to do a live.
He's letting us stay in his house and he's going to stay in his camper van out in the yard.
He loves that camper van.
How about that? What a man. It's a one bedroom.
What a,
host.
What
so
a
he's
mensch.
Like, you take the bed. I'll stay out there. What a nice. Mensch. Follow all of us. Listen to all of us. Just, I don't know. Search. We don't have the website anymore. I was going to say worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com, but we recently decided we're not paying for that. Just no one goes to websites. Just go to whatever. Go to follow us on whatever your podcast platform is. iTunes, Spotify, you know, all that kind of stuff. Kaplan.
Yeah.
Now, a word from your local sponsor.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from.
Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors.
But let me take that again. Let me take it again, Cap. I really feel like I'm on a delay here.
So you are a little bit lately. You weren't earlier on. Now, I think you might be a little bit now.
All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors. Keeping those lights on.
There we go. Cap, I cut you off. I think you did. You have a question before the break?
Well, actually, I have one thing I wanted to mention, because you, Isaac, mentioned that they had the record number of shootings last year in Sweden. Do you have any idea how many that would be? Because we're in America.
Oh, good question. Well, if it's anything like America, I'm going to go, I don't know, 6,000.
I looked it up. 60.
60. Yeah.
60 is the answer. This is the crime. They have a crime. They're calling this a crime wave. That's like in New York City. That's like a weekend. Or something.
Well, wait, how many people are in Sweden?
10 million. What's the population of the country? 10 million.
All right. So it's like the size of New York City. Yeah. We've had so a few hundred shootings York City, for sure this year. Yeah.
But you have to know that. But I mean, 60 over Sweden, we've kind of prized ourselves with almost zero crime. Yeah. I think we had like 11, like 10 or 11 in like the early 2000s. So it's like, it's really gone from like nothing to quite a lot. So, I mean, it's more like a very
exponential growth. Yeah. One day you'll be America at this rate.
Yeah. Like so it's not, it's looking very grim. And it's also like a lot of like explosions and stuff, like they're blowing up stuff and,
Is that any sort of terrorism, or what do you mean blowing up stuff, or is that
it's
rival factions?
Yeah, it's like they're it's like an intimidation thing. They also often like blow up like the front of a apartment building and stuff like that. So it's just like an easy way to kind of show power, I guess, without getting caught, because you know just drive up and you throw something at the doorway and it explodes. There's no real they don't really know what they're aiming at, really. I actually had a shooting with automatic weapons very close to where I live and stuff. So it's it is kind of weird. Like, you know, that never happened, you know, of course, for a couple of years back. So it's really odd. And there was a 25-year-old woman who died when they blew up the front of some building, who had nothing to do with anything. She just was just there. And so, yeah, it's
Turkey's just holding the leader. Who is he under house arrest in Turkey, or they know he is?
Know he's in the country. They just know he's there. I mean, there's all these rumors and stuff. So I don't really know all the details there. I just know that he has become this kind of weird, brick in the political game of it all.
He's a chip, right? Yeah, a gambling chip they can use. What are the gun laws in Sweden? Are guns legal?
No, you can't buy a gun unless you're like a hunter. So you have a hunting license, you can buy a hunting rifle. So all the weapons are smuggled in illegally, of course. They increase the punishment. There's been all these like things. They've tried to do stuff to stop the crime rate, wave. So they've increased the punishment for carrying a weapon, but I think it's still kind of, it's not that harsh. But of course, you know, we're not America, so there's still some wiggle room until we're really in the shitter. Yeah. But I think you always kind of have to have things in perspective. Yeah, we're in there's some shitty times and some big problems, but it's still,
you're not America.
Yeah. So
always tell yourselves that.
Once they get guns in IKEA, then that's your Walmart. You know, you can buy guns at Walmart here. Yeah. So once they show up in IKEA, then you're really, that's when's the time.
I can't wait till we have them in IKEA.
They should immediately. If Sweden has no problem selling guns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Manufacturing and selling, well, sell them to us. We love them.
Yeah, you know? Go in, you stick your kids in the daycare in IKEA, go get the gun.
Go get the gun, get some meatballs.
Yeah. Get some meatballs.
Get your, some candles.
Get a chair, yeah. Get a chair that'll be forever wobbly. Yeah. And then, what, yeah, I have a question, because are there a lot of Kurds in Sweden? Like, is this even like a thing where, like, they have any grounds to stand on? Like, you have a movement?
Yeah, where did
like,
this come from? This whole Swedish Turkey beef rivalry.
I think I don't know really. I think there's a big Kurdish population in Sweden. I think it's always that kind of thing of, you know, it's usually like when one group kind of settles down, it kind of, you know, it becomes these like small communities, I guess. So I think maybe there is, but also I think like the Kurdish, like liberty movement has been very supported by the Swedish left. So both, I can't really say what parties support it, but it has been very, so Sweden in general has been very supportive again for the Kurdish freedom movement and stuff. So I think that's always been like something that's pissed off, especially people like Erdogan and people in Turkey that don't like the Kurds at all. So I can't really answer.
No one really likes the Kurds. They're like the forgotten people in the world. I feel like nobody, you know, like we could have, when we went to Iraq, we could have made Kurdistan a country, you know, nobody helps the Kurds out. So
yeah, I think they're doing quite well. Like they have quite a big piece of land in between like Turkey and Iraq and Syria. So
it's like a region. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing quite well for themselves. I think, I don't know. I know
for the Kurds.
I know some Kurds.
We don't have any
people.
Kurdish comedians that we know, so we can't get their perspective.
But. Yeah, I don't know anything about Kurdish they're nice. People. To Kaplan's point,
I think they're exactly. Nice people. I think I think all people are good.
and a great non-controversial statement. That's a Sweden. Yeah, that's why make peace. That's why they're neutral. That's the most neutral statement ever.
I think we should digitally join hands and sing "We Shall Overcome." Can we do that in this podcast?
Let's do it right now.
Isaac, I'm going to tell you this. That's a very, it's going to be difficult to have a big career in America as a comedian if you're not politically polarized on one side or the other.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing now, is you have to either be like, full on Trump's the best. That's a whole genre of comedy now. Or the other side.
Or just like woke culture's the worst thing ever, or Trump's orange. Yeah, exactly.
But that's kind of happening.
Yeah, I think Trump's orange.
That is kind of happening in Sweden too. There is this kind of polarization and also kind of in comedy, but it's still, I think it's very blurred lines. It's not as I think deeply rooted as in the US, but there is this, a lot of people are complaining about like the political kind of left and right two blocks are getting more and more like, you know, with the prime minister that talked about the gang violence in the speech, you know, his point was basically saying that, look what those other shitheads did to the country.
You have a far right. Right. You had is it a far right government that formed in Sweden last year, or just like a right leaning?
No, it's a right leaning, but they took in the right wing party, which is the Sweden Democrats are nationalist. Yeah. And they have, you know, very well recorded roots to like white supremacy movements in the past.
They were in favor of Sweden sending the train of Germany, sending the trains through back in the war.
they've taken, they say that we have nothing to do with that and blah, blah, blah. And that's very much like, that this is, people trying to blame us for our past, and everyone has a bad past. That's what they say all the, but anyway, so they, joined a coalition with the right and two other parties. It used to be that the right was is that a police? Oh, that's it.
In New York.
That's an American. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's an American ambulance. I'm closing my window there. Siren.
Yeah. So it used to be that
we had a shooting.
They had the They had the
another shooting. Yep. It must be 11 a.m. There was a shooting.
11 a.m. There was a shooting outside over a parking spot, probably. Go on.
It's horrible that we see so lightly at this. We're just having fun at horrific things. But anyway, so there was the Moderaterna, which is like the big right party, and it was like the second biggest party. And then you had the Social Democrats that were the biggest party, and then they had small parties. It was the Christian Democrats, the Center Party, and then the Liberals is what they were called. And they used to build their own coalition, but then the Sweden Democrats became the third largest party. And now they're actually like, sometimes in some polls, they're the second largest party. Basically they became a factor that made, so the right had basically one option, and that was to either kind of team up with the Sweden Democrats or let the left win on a very small government. So that's what happened, and that was kind of historical. And the fun thing also is that the Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson, there's old speeches of him actually saying that he's like, oh, we would never cooperate with the Sweden Democrats. And there's actually an interview that he does where he meets with an old Holocaust survivor that was very she was in a lot of media and stuff, and he promised her that he would never never choose sides or join sides with the Sweden Democrats. And then when she died,
all the Holocaust survivors from Sweden are gone, so now I can.
So that's kind of like one thing, like especially the left is constantly bringing this up. They're like, oh, look what he said to, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah, you shouldn't break your promises.
So just to be
Holocaust
clear,
survivors.
the Swedish Democrats are the far right wing.
Yeah, far right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. What is anyone against joining NATO? Any of these parties? Or is this kind of like everyone just accepted?
I think I think actually, like in the left, you would have like the Vänsterpartiet and the Miljöpartiet. I'm not really sure. I don't know, but I think they have a lot of in their party that are like pacifists and against us joining. Like they still cherish the idea of this false neutrality. That there are a lot of people. So they've been very kind of quiet. So they're not against it because they realize like they would be, of course, seen I think they would be almost seen as pro Putin if we don't join NATO. There's kind of that kind of polarization going on. So what they've done instead is that they're not saying anything. They're just kind of being quiet. But it was actually the Social Democrats. I think they started to kind of open the door for, I can't remember who did that. It's been like an ongoing process. So it is very, on both sides, an acceptance for
some people on both sides.
Yeah. But I would say that like the people that are against NATO are either the ones to the extreme left that are kind of like, we shouldn't join any alliance. And then you have to the extreme right. That's kind of like, we should stand alone, I guess. I don't know. It's not. I mean, if it's 40% or what Michael, what you said it was, how much was it?
62%, I think, or 58%, something like that. Yeah,
62% in favor.
Okay.
So I'd say
there's about 40% against it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I'm just guessing. I guess that's kind of old neutrality kind of pacifists.
Neutrality dies hard.
How so? Is there, because I know they've been working on it for a year to try and join. What's the deal? So it only takes one country to block? Is that the case? And if so, how do they get past this?
Yeah, I think that is the problem, that all the countries have to agree upon the new member being.
It's a club.
Yeah.
Because Hungary also hasn't agreed yet, right? They're the other country that's holding out. And they haven't even said why. They just say they're in no rush, they keep saying.
Like, why does Erdogan get a vote? I get that they joined before Erdogan, right? But also, there should be you should have the ability to take away someone's membership.
Can we kick you out of NATO?
If you get like a crazy dictator, then everyone's like, all right, you're not in anymore, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a lifetime. Is it like the Supreme Court or something? It's like a lifetime appointment. Once you're in NATO, you can't do anything.
It's beyond lifetime. It's the lifetime of the country. It's not the lifetime of even the leader or whatever.
Exactly.
Because I guess also like
it's just forever.
I mean, you have to pay lots of things. I mean, it costs to join a NATO. So I guess if you get kicked out, you'd want your money back, I guess. So it's probably more, it's harder than you'd, but I guess that's
a good point.
That's also the problem now is that you have all these kind of, you know, Orban and all these leaders that are like they're elected through normal voting, democratic voting, but then they still they do stuff that's not really, of course, what do you say, connected to or associated with democracy. So it's kind of a weird time right now, I guess. And and you're old leader. The old one that was before this very old one that you have now, had his tendencies, of course, that
Donnie, old Donnie.
So I mean, I guess that's it's kind of weird times for NATO, all. But with Turkey, I think the last thing I heard also is that they want to buy F-16s.
That's what they're holding out. I think they want America to sell them F-16s. Just like we talked last week, we're going to give Saudi Arabia nuclear power to make peace with Israel. Apparently, we'll give them F-16s to let, you know, that's how it works.
It's a weird world where you're like, we want to join your team, and they're like, oh yeah, we'll have you back if you join our team, but we have all these demands. It's kind of a weird team to join. I mean, I kind of get the feeling like, can we really trust to have that Turkey has our back if something happens? I mean, even if they say yes and you know, no. When the shit hits the fan, are they really?
I mean, ultimately, it's America. It's America who has the back, and then these other countries are going to help out a little bit. But
also like, how happy are we if Turkey gets attacked? Are Swedish people going to feel like, you know, they've been, you know, they've been screwing us for a year now or something or longer? Are we going to feel
you're going to trust the Turkish soldiers to come in and the F-16s?
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a weird situation. I mean, I don't know. I think
so that's what it is now. They're saying, give us an F-16, the US give us an F-16, and then we'll let Sweden join NATO.
Yeah.
It's like US sell us these weapons, these F-16.
That's like another one of these things. As Cap said, we talked about this last week. This is another one of those things that if it happens, Biden's just going to have to sign it on like Friday at 5 p.m. So it's not in the news. So everyone goes away for the weekend and doesn't notice because American people will be like, wait, what did we get out of that? And they'll be like, oh, no, nothing. But who cares?
It's weird also because Sweden manufactures war planes. You know, we have the JAS, which is that we're kind of selling. And the Turkish... like, we want the F-16s. We're like, well, what about these? Do you want these planes? Nah, we want the American planes.
Yeah, they could just buy planes from you.
We could have given them planes. That would have been a more reasonable
That's how you exchange. Make peace. Planes for the gang leader.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
How many planes is that guy worth?
So that would have been the reasonable exchange, but I don't know. It's a very kind of odd thing. And also with Finland, you know, Finland kind of just went straight through. They're like, oh yeah, Finland, fine.
Yeah. So they let Finland through.
Yeah, okay, because that prime minister, she charmed them. I don't know. Just somehow they got it. No objections.
Yeah. So
how does it end? Do we know?
I think,
or is there like a date that they have to decide by or anything?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know really. I don't know. Maybe there is a date. I have no idea.
I think they have till next year, I believe.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, they will eventually approve it. I don't think there's any, but eventually, you know, and then you're part of the team. You're part of NATO. So you're going to be fighting wars.
Yeah. We get to make the merch. Get the NATO logo on our caps and, you know, all that stuff. Stripe our cars and stuff with the NATO logo. Yeah, we're going to go crazy. Going to put a big NATO symbol right on the Swedish flag so everyone knows. Stay away.
No more of that.
Well, the other way, to speed this up is, and you know, obviously none of us want this to happen, but if Putin just all of a sudden points the weapons your way, I think that would make it a pretty quick, everybody would get you in.
Yeah.
You'd join pretty fast.
Maybe, yeah.
Into that one.
But during the Cold War, there was never any incident, and you had no problems with the Soviet Union, I guess, right? They stayed out of harm's way, so this has never been a problem before?
Well, it was discussed a lot during, I think, I wasn't there at the time, but found out, I think it was a big debate during, but you know, Sweden was very more, I think, left-wing during, so it was almost a bit more Soviet-friendly, not really Soviet-friendly, but more, I think, Soviet-friendly, whereas now we kind of, we don't really have a, we don't really know at all what kind of Putin's planning. I think that's the scary part. Well, we didn't know what the Soviets were planning either, though. I don't know. I think the situation now is a bit more scary. I actually, you know, I did comedy in Russia. Have I said that? No, probably not. I did it.
No, like, where did you play?
2012. I was in Moscow, and then I went back. I was booked back to Moscow and did some other shows there. And I remember in 2012, I mean, Russia was, you know, it had kind of a bad reputation, but whenever we went out and like met Russian people, there was really this kind of future, like this optimism. Everyone we met was just like, they, you just kind of went in there as a Westerner into a bar, and people just kind of came up and started talking to you because they were just so happy. Wow. Like, oh, come up, you know, and, you know, basically like free drinks in the bar. It was just weird. Like, yes, it was like we were celebrities just because we were not from Russia almost. But there was very much like this optimism. And I remember a lot of people we talked to, because we back then was a lot of talk about these anti, like gay laws and stuff. Like the there was lots of those that stuff happening back then, and I remember talking to people then, and most of them were like, yeah, you know, but that's just, you know, the people in the countryside, they don't get like the cities, it doesn't matter if you're gay in the city. Yeah. That was their kind of way of seeing it, like in the cities they're progressive, but outside they're more
sounds familiar.
Yeah, so that was their kind of view. And I remember like my view of Russia back then was that, oh, they're you know, they're getting there, they're on their way towards the West and Europe and everything. And then it just, wow, it just kind of flipped over, kind of felt like overnight. It's really, really, really weird.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Was that the same trip when you came to China? When you did comedy in China with me?
No, that's another trip.
That was a different trip. Okay, because I wonder, did you feel the same about China? When I lived in China, I felt that it was getting more and more open every year at that time.
I think I was in too short a time in China, really. And also, I think in China, I mostly met expats. And so probably I never saw anything. I was just, I basically saw Europe and a couple of Americans. So it was like, I basically took an Interrail card through Europe. That was my experience of China.
But you took the rail to...
No, it just felt like that. It felt like being at a hostel in Budapest, being in China. So I don't really know. But I guess, I mean, I think a lot of people that I spoke to there, especially when it came to the comedy scene, were like, oh, yeah, but it's opening up. And they're very kind of laid back and stuff. And I remember the last time I was in Shanghai, they were running what is this, Mandarin? They did a Mandarin show in Shanghai and stuff. And,
we had Mandarin.
And it was growing and getting bigger and bigger. So I guess it was kind of a feeling of, things are going towards some more.
Everything's kind of something happened in the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Yeah, everything's sort of going the other way. I blame the boomers on the internet, but you know, everyone has their theories.
Yeah.
Tap, go ahead.
I had one last question.
Okay.
All right. Have you ever heard of the Stockholm City Film Festival? Have you ever been?
I've been. I don't know.
Is it good? I asked because we did a television pilot based on this podcast, as we've talked about, and we submitted. We are big announcement. We made the semifinals at this film festival. We're semifinalists.
Okay.
So is this the type of thing, should we be advertising that? Is that a like, is this a like a well-respected film festival? Have you ever, no?
But was this
honest answers only?
Yeah, but was it Stockholm Film Festival? The one, there's one like big one.
What's it called, Cap?
The Stockholm City Festival. Yeah.
Stockholm City.
Is that the one? Or is this the junior one?
I think it's that one. That one's pretty good, I think. Yeah. I'm not sure. All there's a bunch of festivals, but yeah, I'd say that's a merit. Yeah.
All right. So congrats to us. It's a big accomplishment. We're going to print the shirt.
Is it sweet?
But Cap.
Yeah.
I need to ask you, Kaplan, because this is breaking news to me as well. Is this one of those? Because last week we found out that we made some film festival, but they're like, congratulations, you made the quarterfinals. And we're like, all right, sounds good. And then they were like, yeah, but that's the end of it. You didn't, we don't have, you're not in the semi, like they kind of just congratulate you for not, it's a way of saying you're not in, but they still say the word congratulations.
Basically what they said is you're in a monthly winner. You've been a selection. They said that last week. And then at the end of the month, they announce for the year long competition, we're considered semifinalists. So it's further than quarterfinals. I assume with film festivals, a finalist means you get to be shown. That's what I think it means.
Wait. Pause, Cap. But does that mean that we're going to find out soon if we made the finals and then the next one, or is it over?
No, I think it means it's over. It means it's over. That's, you've made it. They tell you as far as you've made it.
I don't understand this world. Okay.
so wait, we're semifinalists. If you make the semifinals at Wimbledon, that's a good accomplishment. So we're
except for we have no way of proving we did anything. They could give you
a thing on the internet. They give you a little thing to put on, like an emblem, so we can put it on the posters. So congrats to us. We should show up, though. We should come visit you. Go to the Stockholm City Festival and storm in to see these ones who beat us to the finals and just heckle the hell out of them.
You're basically half an Ingmar Bergman. So, I mean, that's a great accomplishment.
But we did. But it, ultimately, it's nothing. They're not showing our show.
I think it's a great big merit. I think you should be proud.
Yeah, take the compliment.
But okay, I think it's a big festival. Right. I think it's a big festival. I don't know if it's the one big festival that they have here, but if it is, then that's a big thing. So
when is it, Kaplan? When's the festival?
Oh, since we didn't get accepted, I don't have it in front of me since I didn't. Oh,
okay, don't worry about it. Let's just say it's the big festival. We'll go off that. That's a good theory. It's a big one. Isaac Jansen, thank you for doing the show, man. Everybody follow him on Instagram at Isaac, I-S-A-K, Jansen, J-A-N-J-A-S-S-O-N, excuse me, at Isaac Jansen. And you have this tour going on right now. I just saw you're selling out theaters and everything, which is great.
Well, yeah, it's going well. Yeah, I'm happy.
It seemed like it.
Yeah.
It seems like it's going very well.
I'm succeeding with my social media posting.
Yes, you are.
You're not a boomer, so keep doing it.
Yeah.
Congrats, Cap. Everybody follow him. And thanks for listening and tell your friends about this show. Cap, that's it. What should we do?
And as I say to my wife when she wants to go to IKEA, get lost.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big.